The CBC attempted to find out why Canadians are having fewer kids, and they failed miserably. It's Fake News Friday. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Don't forget to like this video. If you're new around here, please hit the subscribe button. If you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy it, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. Finally, head on over to our website, tnc.news, so you can sign up for a newsletter. Never miss an episode, never miss any of our news stories. Okay, so if you saw the interview that I did with Aaron Woodrick on Tuesday, we talked about immigration and everything that's wrong with Canada in terms of our broken immigration system. The very end of the interview, we got into what I think is one of the most important and pressing issues of our time, which is the real reason why we talk about why we have an immigration system, because Canada has a below replacement birth rate, fertility rate, and that fertility rate is dropping at an alarming rate. I think it's the biggest issue facing our country. Even Elon Musk recently said that he believes that it is the biggest issue facing our civilization. Let's play that clip.
The world will face in 20 years is population collapse. Collapse. I want to emphasize this. The biggest issue in 20 years will be population collapse. Not explosion, collapse. It's very easy to see what the world will look like in 20 years because humans have a 20-year boot sequence. So like you said, okay, well, who was born last year? Okay, now you know what the world looked like in 20 years.
That's exactly right. And good for Elon Musk for raising this issue. That was back in 2022. He's made similar comments over and over. You know, we hear a lot from the climate alarmists that the world is overpopulated and that climate change is going to be this like civilization-destroying event. Elon Musk sees it the complete opposite, we're not replacing our populations. You can look at the demographics. So he's raising the alarm bell in a very public way. Demographers and researchers and sort of conservative writers and thinkers have been talking about this issue for a very, very long time. And so I was very pleased to see that the CBC covered it. The CBC had a documentary or a segment on one of their news shows that ended up on YouTube. It was called The Cost of Having Kids, Why Fewer People Are Planning to Have Kids, in a program called About That with Andrew Chang, which aired on February 28th. And given my conversation with Aaron Lee Woodrick, I thought, hey, this is great. The CBC is finally covering this issue. All Canadians need to be aware of it. We need to be talking about it. We need to be thinking about how to solve this issue. And so you can imagine my surprise when I watched this clip from the CBC. It's about 10 minutes. And basically, the CBC managed to get every aspect of this issue wrong. Not only that, they produced a very cheap, very lazy, very sort of low quality, low budget attempt to answer this question. So I'm going to play you parts of this documentary or part of this segment today and just point out all the very many ways that the CBC gets it wrong. Look, we're talking about an organization that gets $1.4 billion from the taxpayers every year, and this is the best that they can come up with. This shoddy piece of journalism that doesn't even scrape the surface when it comes to what I believe is the most important issue facing Canadians and facing the future of our country. So let's go through it now. I want to play this segment. It's with, again, a journalist named Andrew Chang, where he explores supposedly the main reasons why people in Canada are not having kids. So let's play this clip.
Do you want kids? That's a pretty sensitive question, right? For a lot of people, and maybe now more than ever.
Do I really want this? Because kids are the ultimate decision. There's a no return policy on that.
Why is it so permanent? How am I supposed to make that decision? Like
in the US,
for example. Pause right there. First, right off the bat, we have some TikTokers. So rather than going and interviewing Canadians to find out why Canadian young women aren't just choosing to have kids, they just pull these TikTok videos, and we'll see there's a trend throughout this clip, that these are not even Canadian people, right? These are influencers on TikTok. In TikTok, we looked into them. Those are both Americans, those two women that we saw both there, both American TikTokers, young ladies talking about whether or not they want to have kids. Okay, let's resume.
Survey suggests only about half of people between the ages of 18 and 34 say, yes, I want to be a parent. Now, maybe that number alone isn't shocking, but compared to 2003, when 86% of Americans in that age group said they wanted kids.
Okay, pause it there. Okay, so first of all, this is the CBC. We pay them $1.4 billion to do Canadian research and tell Canadian stories. Right off the bat, we have two American TikTokers. the CBC is presenting American data. They're looking at a Pew Research study and a Gallup Research study. So my question is, why can't you find the Canadian equivalent? Why don't you show Canadian numbers? This is a Canadian segment for the Canadian news. It's the CBC, for goodness sake. You get $1.4 billion a year to report Canadian stories. And yet here you are, lazily taking TikToks from the internet to show what American women believe is the problem. And then you're showing this data and we're not even comparing apples to apples. Like it seems alarming at first glance, 51% versus 86%. You read the fine print and the studies are different, right? There's different age groups. So on the left, the 2024 one is asking Americans aged 18 to 34. On the right, 18 to 40. One is a research study. The other one is Gallup. And you don't even know what the question is. What exactly is the question? And who is it to? Are you asking both men and women? Or are you asking both? Because there's going to be a difference. So I think this is pretty shoddy journalism to present this as just like a huge monumental title shift in the past 20 years when, you know, the studies that I've looked at don't show this. And just a further point. So the Gallup poll from 2003, rather than following up with another Gallup poll, they follow up with a Pew Research poll, which is inexplicable. When you look up the data in the updated Gallup poll from 2023, it actually shows the opposite of what the CBC is trying to present here. So I pull up this article from Gallup, and it says that Americans' preference for larger families, the highest since 1971. Again, this is a follow-up to that 2001 study, the same study. This is released in 2023, and it says in this article that 47% think that one or two child is ideal. That includes 44% say two children is ideal. Okay, even more, 45% of U.S. adults say that three or more children is the ideal family size. Just 2% of Americans, 2% think the ideal family includes no children at all. And it notes that Black families, religious families, and younger adults favor larger families. That is what the Gallup report from 2023, the latest result, shows. So rather than showing apples to apples, the Gallup poll versus the Gallup poll, the CBC went and showed a Pew Research poll that had a different criteria that wasn't the same as what they were showing that somehow found a totally different conclusion. Rather than 2% of adults saying they don't want any kids, the CBC is presenting it that 49% of American adults don't want kids, which is, from the research that I looked at, just completely not true. So CBC not starting out very good with this segment. Let's resume.
Pretty big shift over just a couple of decades. And in Canada, it's not all that different. When young adults here were asked in a survey a couple of years ago how many kids they planned on having, 34% said none. But a similar question in 2001, only around 7% of Canadians in the same age group said the same thing.
Okay, pause for a second there. So when you see the numbers side by side, these are not, again, he said the same age group, but it's not the same age group because one of them was asking the Canadians age 15 to 49, and that's where you get 75% saying that they don't want kids. Sorry, 65% say they don't want kids. The 2001 study was asking adults, Canadian adults, between 20 and 34. So that's a different age group. If you're asking a 15-year-old, do you want kids? You're going to get a different answer than if you ask a 30-year-old. And so, again, the CBC is doing like this weird kind of cherry-picking of data to try to make the problem seem like the real issue here is that people just don't want kids. Whereas, again, there's other research and other data that shows that that's not the case. It obviously depends on when in a person's life you ask them. But asking a 15-year-old if they want kids, you're not going to get a realistic idea of whether that person actually does want kids until they're a little bit older. So not a great study. And also, this isn't a survey. This isn't a study. This is actually census data, because if you look at the survey size, it's saying that they talked to 16 million Canadians, which is not a survey. This is just what people write down in the census. Okay, let's keep that going.
It's not entirely clear why it's taking people longer and longer, but the dating world has changed a lot over the past couple of decades.
Think about this. You can go on 3 dates with someone and have an amazing time and then never hear from them again.
A lot of the times apps lead us to undervalue people that we'd actually like in real life and overvalue people we wouldn't give a second thought to.
Like, I know people that have met the love of their life on these apps, but also like the overwhelming sentiment toward these apps is they don't work.
A few years ago, Pew asked those who were single and looking to rate how their dating life was going. 75% said it's been very or somewhat difficult to find a partner in the past year because They had trouble approaching people, trouble finding someone who wants the same type of relationship, or just finding someone who meets their expectations. About half of those respondents also agreed that dating has become more difficult over the past decade.
Okay, let's just pause it here. I think that it's an interesting perspective. And yes, I think part of the reason why our fertility rate's falling is because people are waiting longer and longer. The CPC kind of just glosses over why and pretends it's entirely because people just can't find the right partner. That in our society, young women are told to get educated, get a career, become self-sufficient, become financially independent. You don't need a man. And then all of a sudden they're wondering like, well, hey, why aren't women and men coupling up and having kids? It's like, well, because all of society's messages are pushing women in one direction away from wanting to get married and wanting to have children. And then surprise, surprise, many of them are not. And then we have this weird, very superficial analysis about how dating apps are really hard and some cherry-picked data again about how people who are dating on dating apps don't like it. It's like, you know, maybe you're asking the wrong people. Maybe these dating apps aren't the right way to find a partner. Maybe the best way is still, you know, people finding partners and getting married through their community, people you meet in school, people you meet at work, people that you know, friends of friends. I mean, that's the best way to meet someone who comes from a similar background, shares the same values, shares the same goals in life, rather than, you know, this screen-obsessed society where everything we do is online. Therefore, when it comes to finding a mate, you have to go online. Like rather than criticizing the entire framework of it, the CBC kind of just again does a superficial gloss over a job where they just say like, it's harder than it was 10 years ago. Again, if you're dating now, you probably weren't dating 10 years ago. Like most people don't date for 10 years. Most of the people who are dating and having a hard time finding someone is because they're like, you know, they're 25 and they're on an app. They weren't dating 10 years ago. They were 15 years old. So they don't really know by comparison what it was like. And again, not really getting into very a deep analysis here. Okay, let's keep playing.
Another reason on that list of reasons not to see kids in one's future was financial.
Children are expensive, and they're even more expensive than industrialized nations.
In Canada, a recent report tried to put a number on just how expensive. So let's take a middle-income, two-parent, two-child household, just as an example, since Stats Canada found that was the most common dynamic. Their report estimates a family in that category can expect to pay an average of $750,000, raising those two kids from birth to age 22. So that's if you add up food, clothes, education, childcare, transportation, everything. Even accounting for the extra you'd pay for a bigger home.
Okay, right? Just stop it right there. Okay, you hear this kind of claim a lot, so I want to go through it in a bit of detail. The CBC claims that it costs $750,000 to raise kids. You kind of hear these big, huge numbers thrown around a lot in the media. Notice that the CBC doesn't give you a source at all. They don't tell you where this data comes from. They don't show you how it's broken down. Like, what is the monthly breakdown? What are you talking about in terms of, like, childcare costs and a bigger house and more cars? Like, is that universal? Is that like specifically focused on someone who is, say, like low income and relies on daycare and has to have like full-time care for their child from the time they're like 6 months or something like that? Because that's not the normal experience. And you can literally do this with anything if you take the cost of something over 22 years, right? So just as an example, I looked up like, what is the cost of owning a car in Canada? Well, according to an article that I found in the Toronto Star, it says that the annual cost of operating a car each year, so this includes registration, gas, maintenance, including like winter tires, wear and tear on the car, it breaks down to approximately $1,387 per month, which would make it $16,644 a year to own a car. If you take on top of that the cost of actually buying the car, so the average Canadian owns a used car that's worth about $39,000. So we're talking about an $8,000 down payment and a loan payment of about $31,000. So somewhere around $1,000 a month in car payments. So that would get us to $13,000 a year. So if you add that together, folks, and you want to find out how much it would cost to own that car over a 22-year period, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably somewhere around $500,000 or $600,000 just to own a used car. But you don't think of a used car in terms of a 22-year experience or driving a car in terms of 22-year experience. You could do this with the cost of new clothes every year, the cost of vacations, the cost of subscriptions on your phone, the cost of going out for dinner or your morning coffee. You add it up over time, the number seems really shocking. And I think the reason that left-wing journalists and media throw this big, huge number around is to scare people. It's a scare tactic designed to make you not want to have kids, designed to make you think that it's just so expensive that you cannot do it. The reality is, like, yeah, of course, there's costs associated with having kids. I know I have three kids and one on the way. And so you have to buy diapers, you have to buy new clothes. The reality is you can get a lot of this stuff used. You can get a lot of this stuff for free off of like a Facebook group or a mom group, because whenever there's new kids, it's like other people's kids are growing older and they have all this stuff that they can give to you. It doesn't have to be incredibly expensive. You don't have to use formula. You can nurse your child. You don't have to buy diapers. You can use cloth diapers. Like, there's all kinds of ways that you can make it less expensive. There's also all kinds of ways that you can make it even more expensive. If you want to have like the latest top of the line stroller or, you know, brand new designer clothes for kids, like you can do a lot of things to make it really expensive to have kids, but you don't really have to. You can also just rely on your community, rely on your group of friends or your church or, you know, people in your family to help you with a lot of these things. And it doesn't have to be that expensive. So I really cringe and I reject these huge numbers, like $750,000 to have kids. I think it's just totally false. It's the wrong way of thinking about it, wrong way of looking at it. Whenever you see statistics like this thrown around, just know it's propaganda. It's propaganda and fear-mongering designed to make people not want to have kids. Okay, let's resume the video.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Per bedroom per child. And when you factor in all those things, it adds.
Just the base cost of feeding, clothing, educating a child is out of reach. And I can't imagine bringing a child.
Okay. Just stop for a second, because this is just so much of this in this video. It's like we keep seeing these American TikTokers with their superficial analysis. Now we finally hear from this individual. He sounds like he's from Australia to me. We don't know who he is. Is he like an expert? Is he some kind of an expert in not having kids? I mean, he looks like a pretty young guy to me. And we're told that he's just some guy who doesn't want kids. We Googled this individual's name, Arden Matthews, and he was featured in another CBC story, oddly, on the same topic. We learned that Arden Matthews is 26 years old. He's engaged to their longtime partner. So pardon me, it's not a he, it's a they. He says that they're not having kids because it's too expensive, even though he has a well-paying job in Vancouver. So again, I have no idea why the CBC chose this person to be the spokesperson for his generation, their generation, when, again, like who is he? He works in tech. He's just like a guy off the street, and somehow he is representative of all Canadians. Okay, great journalism from the CBC. Let's keep playing here.
That I couldn't afford to help thrive.
And here's the thing: that study used data from 2014 to 2017. Since then, the cost of pretty much everything has gone up.
Thanks to terrible liberal policies, including the printing of money, shutting down our economy during COVID, and like uncontrollable inflation. So he kind of just finally got to the point there, brushes over it. Yeah, the cost of living has exploded basically since Justin Trudeau got elected, but no analysis, nothing deeper there, just kind of like a throwaway line. Oh, and by the way, these numbers are old and the new numbers are even worse because of how devastated our economy is now. So again, just glossing over the truth and not really hitting the nail on the head at all. Okay, let's keep playing.
Prenatal care, doctor's appointments, the hospital bills, then after the baby's actually born, you have, you know, diapers, food, wipes.
Okay, just stop it right there. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but this person right here is an American influencer. Her entire TikTok shtick is that she doesn't want kids. You can look at her profile. Child-free, happy, like her whole audience is built around this young woman in Washington, D.C. who just doesn't want kids, leave her alone. It's all about advocating for not having kids. Again, she's American. And this example that she's giving us about the costs of like healthcare costs is so irrelevant in Canada. It's like, hello, we have government funded healthcare. No one pays out of pocket for this stuff. Even in the United States, they don't pay out of pocket for this kind of stuff. Like when I'm talking about, neonatal care and having an OB and going for your doctor's visits, like it's just so relevant. Why would the CBC decide to put this clip into this documentary? Because we're talking about Canada. We're talking about the Canadian experience. So it's just blatantly obvious that this is not a Canadian person because she's talking about something that doesn't apply to us in Canada. Okay, let's keep playing.
There is an expectation among society and employers, probably more importantly, that if a woman has children, her job will no longer be her priority. And this is a measurable cost. We know that women who have children earn less than women who don't.
And one more thing about cost. Oh,
they come so close. They come so close to talking about the real issue. So here's this woman, I don't know, some sociologist or some economist, feminist lady coming on, telling us that having kids contributes to the wage gap and it's not fair that women don't make as much or something like that. It's like, yes, that's exactly right. You could have someone who has a very successful, very fulfilling career, something like a lawyer. And then as soon as they have kids, they realize that law is not their top priority anymore. They don't want to go and sit in an office for 14, 16, 18 hours a day when they have a child because they would much rather spend that time with their child. They would much rather be at home with the child. This is like one of the real issues that we should be talking about. They really just gloss it over and they paint it as like a negative, which is like, oh, and this is why women get paid less. It's like, yeah, women would, by and large, most women would rather be with their kid. And even someone who's like hyper successful, hyper career oriented that becomes a lawyer and is a very successful lawyer, when they have a child, I've seen this in my friend group, I've seen this with friends, with people in my family even, once they become a mother, they realize how important that job is and that nothing can compare to it. Like going back to the law firm, going back to the long hours at your desk, it just doesn't seem appealing at all because you would rather be at home with your child. It's sort of like they're being awakened to the true nature of human beings, that women want to nurture and they have that motherly instinct that really comes out when you have a baby. So CBC came very close to hitting on an important point, but instead of making it, they paint it as a negative and then gloss over it. Okay, let's keep playing.
Parents ever told you, back in my day, we just went outside and climbed trees until it got dark. And meanwhile, you're zipping back and forth between soccer and gymnastics and swimming and piano, if you can even afford that.
Then don't do those things. This is really simple, right? It's like, don't overprogram your child. If you're worried about things being too expensive, then don't enroll them on all those things. Just let them have like a simple, carefree childhood where they can run around and play with their friends in their neighborhood. Like, that's not a negative thing. That's maybe saying that parents shouldn't be so uptight about all these extracurricular activities. And I don't know what's the circumstance in everyone's community, but for my son, the after-school programs at his school that are designed for like further enrichment, like playing sports or being parts of clubs, they're kind of designed so that the kids can stay at school later so that the parents don't have to do the driving around. So the parents don't have to pick them up somewhere and take them somewhere else. They can just stay at the school until 4 or 4:30 doing their sports or doing their activities. And then the parents can come pick them up later. So it's like literally the opposite of what they're describing in this CBC video. Okay, let's keep playing.
Don't have kids till you can afford them. What does that mean? That is so subjective. Afford what?
Okay. So first of all, this documentary, this clip is so out of order. Like, it's just randomly inserting different opinions about different topics here and there. It's almost hard to keep up with it. It's so schizophrenic. But here we had a woman who said, you know, why is the emphasis so much on whether you can afford children? It's kind of out of place, but this is the first comment that I've actually agreed with in this entire segment here. Because she says, you know, why is that the emphasis? I don't know what else she says afterwards, because again, it's like a 3 or 5 second clip. But I think this is a true point. This is maybe the only true point that is made from a commentator in this video, which is that we put so much pressure on young people that they have to be like perfectly ready, that they have to like have everything done in the right order, that they have to have a job, a career, make enough money, get a down payment, buy a house, and then they can start having kids. And for many people, by the time they do that, it might be too late. It might be harder to get pregnant. They might have issues with that. I think that's wrong, right? There's no perfect timing to have kids, like especially if you have a career. The more you work in your career, get established, it's always going to be hard. It's never going to be easy to take that break. You can say, oh, maybe in 2 years I'll have more money. And then 2 years comes and you still don't. Like, you don't need to own a home in order to have a baby. My husband and I rented a house, and we were renting when we had our son. And a couple of years later, we bought a house. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. So I think this is right. Like, if you're waiting for some perfect time to have a baby, you may wait too long. You may regret it. Instead, we should just encourage people, you know, once you find your partner, once you're happily in a stable relationship, go for it. Go have kids. Have kids while you can, while you're young, while you're energetic, while you can enjoy them. Don't wait. Don't put it off. That's the message that we should be sending to young people, rather than this like doom and gloom message, like it's so expensive, you can't afford it, it's going to cost you $750,000. Like, no, just ignore all that. Just there's no perfect timing. It's never going to be perfect. Just go and have kids. That's the best advice that I think you can get. Okay, let's keep playing.
So those were some of the most common reasons given for not having kids in that survey, but it still feels like something's missing, doesn't it? Because if we come back to that pie chart for a second, remember, 56% of people said they weren't likely to have kids because they just don't want to. How can we explain that?
Randomly, my husband will look over at me and be like, "You want to take a train to Paris this weekend? Yes, do what you want. Have kids, don't have kids. But hear me when I say you can live a fulfilled life without them."
Okay, just stop right there. What she described is not a fulfilled life, okay? Jumping on a plane, jumping on a train, going to Paris, like YOLO, you only live once, have fun, you know, hearing this from like a 25-year-old, that's not good advice. That's not good life advice. She's having fun now. That doesn't mean that she's going to live a fulfilled life. It doesn't mean that she's going to be 60, 70, 80 years old and feel good and fulfilled about her life. Like, ask that same lady, go find her when she's old and ask her if she still feels that way, that like, I'm free, I can just go out for dinner and go day drinking and go to Paris and just have so much fun all the time. Like that's not going to give you fulfillment in the long term. And it's sad that that's the message that they're promoting. And the CBC, again, shame on the CBC for even putting that clip in this segment. Okay, let's resume.
Having children makes people happier. And I think that for young people, I think they recognize that. And so they are prioritizing other things.
Okay, just stop right there. Okay, so she says that the studies say that there's no evidence that having kids makes you happier, and that somehow Gen Z are more in tune with this. Like, they're wiser than the rest of us because they don't want kids, because they know this like eternal truth or something like that. That's just such a nihilistic way of looking at the world. The fact that they somehow know that having kids will make you unhappy. I think that the research on that is really questionable.
They asked Americans to rank what they considered most important to them in order to live a fulfilling life. Number three was having children, but ahead of kids were two other factors, and they both commanded a lot more enthusiasm. Number two was having close friends. Now, that's something that is, according to the researchers we spoke to, a pretty noticeable shift from previous generations.
This generation actually really values their free time, their leisure time. They spend more time socializing than previous generations. And so they're not really clear they want to give up on those elements of their lives in order to have children.
Okay, so I have to stop it right there, because that is not true. Like, everything you read about Gen Z is that they are the loneliest generation, that they're addicted to their screens, that they spend upwards of like 7, 8, 9, 10, something like 15 hours a day on their screens, that they're horribly depressed, that they're unprepared, they need safe spaces. Like, this idea that somehow like Gen Z are this like carefree, happy generation that just cares about socializing and that they're out in person having fun with their friends, and that's why they don't want kids. That's just the opposite of everything that I've seen in my life with Gen Zers that I know in my family, or in like reports and sociologists looking at them. It's like the opposite. They're just trying to make a point here that doesn't make sense. That one economist lady, it's like, you know, she somehow says that Gen Zers earlier are like wiser than the rest of us, that they know that having children won't bring them happiness. And so they're more interested in just like day-to-day like joy and living for the moment. There's just nothing true about that. It's really superficial, and it's not true. The evidence shows us the opposite. Okay, let's keep playing.
Indulging my inner child. If I had kids, all of my time would be spent focusing on their schedule, focusing on their needs, focusing on all the stuff that helps make them successful humans, as opposed to myself.
Okay, so this woman says that she wants to focus on herself and her own inner child, and that having children will get in the way of her own inner self-fulfillment. I mean, I probably agree that this person shouldn't have kids because she seems horribly selfish and narcissistic, but the message that she's portraying is the exact opposite. Look, the reality is that when you have kids, you kind of, in a way, you get to relive your own childhood, right? You get to live, see the joy of childhood and learning and developing through the eyes of a child, but you get to be present as the adult in their life, guiding them through it. And having that experience, I mean, you kind of like get to relive parts of your own childhood, like, you know, watching Disney movies with them. You remind yourself of when you watch Disney movies, or, you know, first day of school, all these kind of milestones that happen in your child life. It brings you back to your own childhood. And if that's what you want to focus on, I mean, being a parent gives you that opportunity. Being like a selfish, narcissistic singleton living in an apartment somewhere and focusing entirely on like your inner self, that's going to take you further away from that. So the advice this person is trying to give is just terribly all wrong. And again, the fact that these are the kind of people that the CBC is including in their segment just tells you everything you need to know. All right, let's finish this up.
It may be that historically the stress on career would have been framed as in, I want to have this good career because I need to be able to support my family. Now we're hearing people talk about it more about their own personal satisfaction about it.
You can be ambitious and have kids. I'm not saying you can't, but my business is my baby. It takes up so much time, energy, stress. I just couldn't do that and have a kid.
It is now.
Okay, sorry. Just final thought there. They're just totally gaslighting us. It's like they're purposefully choosing non-Canadians to highlight here, even though it's a Canadian segment on a Canadian television show. Okay, that's final thought. Let's just keep playing.
In society, to choose to not have kids. So you can talk about making this choice, oh, I want to pursue my career and not have kids, and that's okay.
Now, to be clear, all of these studies we're talking about are capturing people's intentions at a single point in time. It's impossible to know how many of them will change their minds. The number of women over 50 without children has been rising steadily in both Canada and the United States over the past decade. And StatsCan projects the financial reasons holding people back in particular will do much to shape what future generations look like.
Okay, and that's it. We don't even get like a concluding thoughts. They just kind of randomly say, you know, this is a snapshot. People's mind could change. And people over 50 who don't have kids, the number is growing. So we're just really like lack of thought, lack of analysis going into this. There's a really interesting study that came out from CARDIS about a year ago, January 2023, that you'd think that they would include in this. The CARDIS study showed that through an Angus Reid survey of 2,700 women in Canada aged 18 to 44, that they learned that basically, more than half of Canadian women are having fewer children than they want. So Canadian women want children, but because of their circumstances, they're not having as many children as they want. So they call this like the missing children rate, which makes women unhappier. And you'd think that that's like an important element to choose, that it's not necessarily that women don't want children, it's that they, because of their circumstances, they can't have as many children as they want. And there's a number of reasons for that, which some of them were mentioned in the documentary here, but not very many. We also have other Canadian studies that show, again, the opposite. It's like an Ipsos poll from February 2024 showed that 7 in 10 Canadians rated having children as important. So when they showed those three points that why people weren't having children in the documentary, you know, this is like all things that people would want simultaneously. It's like, yes, I want to have a good job. Yes, I want to have close friends. Sure, you need money to live. And having children and being married is important to the majority of Canadians. And so it doesn't really make sense that they were like pitting those reasons against each other. And also, obviously, there's going to be a difference between men and women, because men might value having a career as being the most important thing, whereas women might value having children as the most important thing. So just like even taking a step back, again, this documentary is entirely one-sided. They didn't talk about the other side at all. They didn't talk to any parents. They didn't talk to anybody who wanted to talk about the upsides of having children. They didn't talk about anyone who might feel regretful or remorseful once they're older about not having children at all. And then on top of that, it's not at all critical of this mindset about not having kids and how that's superior. They just talked to like two researchers who, I'm sorry to say, they both seem like middle-aged women who don't seem very happy in their lives. They're not like they're not exactly like role models in our society. They're just talking about like all the negatives and how bad things are. They don't talk about anything positive. And then every single TikTok that they grabbed went one way. None of them went the other way. The CBC glossed over any kind of societal problems that could come from falling fertility rates, right? You had Elon Musk talking about how this is the biggest problem in the world. CBC didn't even mention the fact that with low fertility rates, and 2022, by the way, was the lowest year on record in Canada. We saw a StatsCan report come out saying that 2022, we're way below replacement rate here, folks. We're talking about 1.33 children per woman, the lowest in recorded history. Basically, it's just gone downhill since the pandemic. Not talking about, you know, what are the social consequences? What will happen to big government programs? What will happen to our healthcare system? What will happen to OAS and GAS and all these unfunded liabilities that we have when you have retirees making up a bigger and bigger percentage of the population? They didn't talk at all about the shift in gender roles, the idea that feminism tells women to go on this certain path, and this certain path leads to them not having as many children as they want. So if you want to do a deep dive and you want to learn more about this issue, I think it's really important, I recommend a documentary called Birth Gap by the documentarian and journalist Stephen Shaw. He talks about it. It's called Birth Gap, A Childless World. And he does the tough journalism. He goes all over the world, talks to women, talks to people who have, you know, unfortunately not been able to find a partner, and how hard it is for them, and how it's not just this like, you know, carefree YOLO life that most of them end up deeply regretting it. And you can see that in the numbers as well. Like I mentioned earlier in this segment that 2% of people say that they don't want kids. That's pretty consistent when you look at the data. There's something called childless versus being child-free. And if you look at the numbers, it's pretty consistent that the number of people who are child-free because they don't want children has consistently been somewhere between 1% and 2%, right? And then the people who are childless, people who don't have kids, that's the number that's more concerning because there is a gap. We're talking about somewhere between 10 and 15% of women wanted kids and don't have them. And I think that that is a bigger reason why we see the declining birth rate, why we see the declining fertility rate. So the CBC at least attempted to cover this, which is, again, the most important issue of our time facing our civilization in 10, 20, 30 years to come. And rather than promoting a real alternative, rather than getting to the bottom of what the problems are and promoting a solution, even presenting it as a problem that needs to have a solution promoted. Instead, the CBC just shows us this like impulsive, selfish, self-fulfilling, like I want it now, nihilistic view of this upcoming generation, and kind of applauds them for not wanting children. It is absolutely the wrong message, completely backwards to what we should be hearing, what we should be telling young people. But what more do you expect from the CBC? They are ideological and their journalism is very low quality. This despite the $1.4 billion they get from taxpayers every year. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's Fake News Friday. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show.